Mike Shea is a Republican political consultant who was the chief strategist during the Louisville-Jefferson County merger campaign. Mike, you're the go-to guy around the country on city-county consolidations. What benefits come from consolidation of local governments?
I think probably the right place to start on conversations of that type is trying to study exactly why people might be interested in it. Typically what you find is you find that government institutions were established to deal with situations 100 years ago or more. And cities and the counties surrounding them have grown to the point that there are, in some instances, there aren't any rural areas anymore. Or, as is the case in the Northeast, there are so many layers of government. I think on Long Island, for example, they have something in excess of 900 taxing districts, that it's just time to reform things. Most of the situations involve competitive governments where you've got a city government that was established and that was, for all practical purposes, the central government of the county. But the county has grown to the point where it is actually a rival city. And they compete with each other for attention. They compete with each other for economic development. They compete with each other for taxation. In most cases, what you find is a business community that's yearning for one-stop shopping and the ability for the community to speak with one voice. And actually rejection of a situation where if they found it in business, the comparison would be a company that was run by two CEOs and two boards of directors, which just doesn't work. So typically those are the motivations. It's outdated. It's competing. You have a business community that is interested in making the situation more efficient and a situation where they speak with one voice.
In the Louisville-Jefferson County merger, you consolidated Louisville with the county, but there were a number of small incorporated towns within the county that were not part of the merger. What problems does that cause for the merged government?
It really doesn't cause any. You have to think of suburban cities, and there were 92, I think, at the time, small cities. Basically, most of them were bedroom communities that were incorporated to forestall annexation and the attendant taxes that would accompany annexation by the city of Louisville. But you have to think of them as taxing districts. And for the privilege of living in a small city, you pay extra taxes for extra services. So the people that live in those small cities or lived in those small cities, they were already paying a tax to the countywide government. And after merger, they continued to pay a tax to the countywide government. The small cities were allowed to remain, and those people continue to pay additional taxes for additional services just as they had before. So the goal was to merge the two big governments and really have the community speak as one voice. These extra taxing districts really didn't interfere with that. That wasn't part of their reason to be, and it doesn't interfere with the delivery services now.
Given the national sensibilities today, is selling bigger government a harder sell?
Only in the sense that you have to explain to people that it's not really bigger government, it's smaller government. If you have two governments that are doing essentially the same thing, and you combine them, there are some economies of scale there. You eliminate two boards of directors. You eliminate two CEOs. The fear, particularly from unions, is that you'll eliminate people at the service delivery level. But what I always say is if you needed 50 guys in the city to fill potholes before and you needed 50 guys to fill potholes in the county before, you still probably need 100 people to fill potholes, but you don't need two department directors and you don't need two supervisors. So at the top end of government, what you're doing is you're eliminating a pretty significant layer of government, and it's actually smaller in that respect.
There must be some downsides to merger, to consolidation. What are those downsides?
I'm not sure that I know what they are. And the reason that I say that is if you look at the mergers of governments over the last 100 years, nobody has demerged. And if you look at Louisville specifically, which is the last city, Louisville and Jefferson County, the last city and county of any size to merge in the last 30 years. I think what you'd find is if you talk to the mayor and you talk to the Chamber of Commerce and the business community generally, you find a new vitality in this town that didn't exist before. We're building a new arena downtown, and if we had the city and the county the way it was before, we'd probably still be talking about where the arena was going to be located. The fear that people have is of change and, you know, exactly what it means to them. And part of the sale here was that basically the difference that you're going to experience most profoundly, if it is profound, is that there are going to be some different names in terms of the elected officials that you deal with. But typically, the benefits of merger are not those that accrue to people who are voting on it that day, but the efficiencies and the higher economic development profile are benefits that will accrue to children and grandchildren. But as you go through merger, I mean, there are always some sticking points. I mean, when you merge two governments, it'd be just like merging two businesses. You know, there are some cultures and different things that have to be merged. For example, police departments. If you merge police departments, you have to deal with the pension systems of each police unit, and you have to deal with the command structure and all that stuff. So there are probably some growing pains in that respect, but I think the long-term effects balance that out and then some.
How many active consolidation efforts are going on around the country that you are aware of currently?
We subscribe to a service, and we get emails every day about news of consolidation conversations that are going on. And on the continuum of consolidation, which is anything from an elected official beginning the conversation and saying we need to talk about this, all the way up to having something on the ballot, there are probably a score going on in one form or another all the time. Now, those change because some of them will do things unwisely. For example, they'll decide in August they want to have the consolidation election on the November ballot. At that point, all you can do is pray for them because it's going to lose. It's just too complex a referendum to have in trying to explain it in a very short period of time. And then there are others that begin the conversation and begin talking about consolidation of services. What that does is, first, in my opinion, it begs the question of, well, if consolidating one service is good, why isn't consolidating the whole Apple a good thing? But typically what that does is dodge the biggest objection to merger, which is turf. You find elected officials in different cities and counties, that some of which are visionary and others are more interested in keeping their job. Those are the ones that object to a wholesale merger the most. So you'll have this continuum of conversations, and some of them are just, you know, because they'll begin the conversation and talk about it for a long time because there's some pain to the conversation, and they have to come to grips with it. A good example is Pittsburgh. They've been talking about it for several years now. And it began as a conversation. They've actually had an academic study done, and I think the chancellor of the University of Pittsburgh put together a group study on it. Their chambers have been involved. They've had at least two mayors involved and the county executive. And the conversation goes on. There are so many of them that are like that are different stages. Sometimes you'll go into a city and you'll find that the business community is engaged. Sometimes you go in and find that there are elected officials only that are engaged. But you have to have a combination of those. You have to have the business community and elected officials engaged to really get it going in the right direction. And it takes a while. The economic straits that we find ourselves in now have probably precipitated a lot more conversations than there were before.
What's the strongest sales pitch for consolidation when it comes to voters?
It's a very different kind of referendum. And the reason that so many of them fail is because most referendum campaigns that are conducted in consolidation efforts are done just exactly the way that we did them in Louisville in 82 and 83. What they did in 82 and 83 was they put together traditional political campaigns. They did a poll, found out what resonated best across the city and county, and then put together a campaign and paid media campaign based on that. But what they were doing was painting with a broad brush. That's where these referenda fail. What we did in 2000 was we did that same kind of poll to get it started. We did focus groups after that, found some interesting things that we needed to know. And then we went back in with a poll that was a short questionnaire, but a very large sample. And that told us why we lost in 82 and 83. We found that we could get 51% or more of the people in every part of the city and county to vote in favor of merger. We just couldn't talk to them the same way. We had to talk to them about different things. Just to give you a couple examples, you could talk to people in the white-collar northeast part of Jefferson County about economic development and what it meant to our economic development profile. But if you went to the blue-collar southwest part of the county, you'd have to talk about jobs, and you'd have to talk to them about having a seat at the table for the first time before any decisions were made, because they felt like red-headed stepchildren, because if you look at most boards and commissions, they're populated by people who wear white shirts and suits during the day. So that's an oversimplification. The continuum of things that you have to deal with when you talk about a consolidation referendum is very broad and very detailed, and you have to talk to everybody about things that make a difference to them. They will seem mundane in some instances. For example, if you really want to tick off a significant group of people, you can change the day of their garbage collection. In almost every community, you're going to have to deal with that issue if you're going to have a consolidation referendum, because that makes a great deal of difference to some people. Typically, they're older, but it's one of those things you have to deal with. So you have to deal with lots of different small issues. There are very few broad brush issues that you can use to move one of these. And the kind of campaign that we put together in Louisville was not a long air campaign. For example, with most congressional campaigns these days, you find about a 12 or 13 week television radio campaign beginning in August. Well, you can't do that in a campaign of this type. You have to go out and talk to people and have literally hundreds of meetings to diffuse the kind of flack that's thrown up by the opponents and to explain exactly what's going to occur so that they understand better. And the more they understand, the more they like it, typically. But it's not a typical campaign of any description, and particularly when it comes to the broad brush issues. There are very few broad brush issues that you can use in a campaign of this type.
Interesting. Just one more question. Mike, you're beginning to hint at it in many ways during the time we've talked, but specifically, what advice would you give to communities that are considering a consolidation effort?
Well, I think the first thing that I'd say is you need to look at it as a multi-year project. First of all, you have to have the commitment of the business community. The business community has to say, this is a priority of ours, and we're willing to fund the whole process. And that's from, you know, analysis of the current government situation, the campaign all the way through, both the campaign that's kind of under the radar, the meetings, and then the air campaign at the end. And I think what you'll find is it's not fair. I'll give you a great example. Evansville. Evansville has a young Democratic mayor. I'm a Republican, you understand. But nevertheless, a young Democratic mayor who, in my opinion, probably has aspirations and the ability to achieve beyond mayor of Evansville. But at the point that I began the conversation with Evansville, the business community had not decided that that was a priority of theirs. They wanted the mayor to be talked into this. Well, it's not fair to ask a mayor to step out on that limb until the business community has decided it's a priority. The mayor isn't going to fund it. The business community is. By the same token, if the business community pulls together, what you'll find is that elected officials typically will work with them. So having the business community decide first that it's a priority of theirs and they want to get it done, and they make sure that they approach it as a multi-year task, not something that they're going to try and get done quickly because it can't be done quickly. You know, that's the best advice I can give. If you look at it anywhere from a 2 to a 4 year window to get this done, then you stand a decent chance of pulling it off. Anything less than, like, say, a year or 18 months, it's not going to happen.
Mike, thanks so much for being our guest on Smart City.
Sure, glad to do it. Thank you.
Mike Shea was chief strategist during the Louisville-Jefferson County merger campaign and is the go-to guy around the country on city-county consolidations.